This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and Memphis could become the next city President Trump sends National Guard troops to. He says to help curb crime. The mayor of Memphis says city data shows crime has fallen in the past year. Democrats like Congressman Steve Cohen, who represents areas of Memphis, admits crime needs to come down further, but city plans are working.
It's high, but the National Guard won't stop that. Working with the FBI, which we've done, working with DEA, which we've done, and working with ATF would help. Those groups know how to police. They know police law. They know police strategy. They know how to patrol.
Tennessee's Republican governor says he is working with the president. Utah authorities say Tyler Robinson, the suspect in the fatal shooting of conservative activist Charlie Kirk, could be formally charged as soon as tomorrow. A motive for the killing still unknown. The Senate says it will take up a vote on the nomination of Stephen Miron, the top Trump economic advisor, to serve out an unexpired term on the Federal Reserve Board. They begin their policy meeting on interest rates tomorrow. This is ABC News.
Eagle 1490. Eagle 1490.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 1490 WLCX.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Could Wisconsin State Capitol see additional security? That's what some lawmakers are proposing. With more, here's Civic Media's Savannah Tomei-Olson.
Wisconsin lawmakers are again talking about their safety after the assassination of right-wing figure Charlie Kirk. Kirk was shot and killed from 200 yards away during a speech in Utah on Wednesday. And months ago, Minnesota State Representative Melissa Hortman and her husband were gunned down in their home, while another state rep and his wife were shot. Assembly Minority Leader Democrat Greta Neubauer says security decisions are in the hands of Republicans.
Given the recent rise in political violence, of course, this is top of mind for many of our colleagues and, of course, the staff who work in the Capitol as well, the press, the guests, the children that come through this building on Capitol visits. So it's an ongoing conversation, and we hope to continue that with our Republican colleagues who, of course, control the safety in our chambers, as well as the other entities in the Capitol.
Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says he's open to lawmakers using funding for their offices to increase security at their homes.
I am very confident in the police force that we have inside the Capitol. If you look at the incidents that have occurred, frankly, when you look at Minnesota, it was in their homes. If you look at what happened yesterday with Charlie Kirk, it was in a public venue on a campus. So the idea that we're somehow going to fortify a single building to make people feel safer, when the reality is that most of the violence that has occurred has not been inside a government building, it's been outside or at people's home. One of the things we have talked about is the possibility of people having using their office account for security at their home. You know, if they want to do that, I'm open to that idea.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei-Olson.
A proposal in the last legislative session failed to advance to a vote. Download the free Civic Media app now at civicmedia.us/app. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Another Brewer injury. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers clinched a playoff spot over the weekend, but lost to the Cards yesterday 3-2. Pitcher Jose Quintana giving up three runs in the second. Pat Murphy says Quintana was dealing with an injury.
Jose leaving with a calf injury is, you know, that's alarming with how injured we already are in the bullpen and on the mound.
The Brewers have the night off before playing the Angels tomorrow night. A report says the Brewers could be playing the Braves in the Little League Classic in Pennsylvania next year in August. MLB says an announcement coming soon. NFL, after having the weekend off, the Packers head to Cleveland this week to play the Browns. College football, Badgers to host the Maryland Terrapins on Saturday. They lost in Alabama 38-14.
We knew we had to come out here in the first half in particular and play solid, play poised, play confident. That's exactly opposite of what we did.
That's Luke Fickell with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. An isolated storm or two this evening, otherwise mostly clear, warm, and muggy tonight with a low in the mid-60s. Sunny, hot, and humid tomorrow. Highs upper 80s to 90. Chance of storms again Wednesday. Temperatures cool at the end of the week. Right now it's 73.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Joe Zepecki.
As much as I disagree with Charlie Kirk, no American
should ever face physical violence for what they believe. And maybe that's how we get past it and move forward, is just say, this is not about, we can't get to a period of political violence. We're in one, and now we got to get out of it. And we have to recognize each other's humanity.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as we discuss the rise in death by suicide rates in Wisconsin and try to look into what the cause and the solution is. Also, the Brewers are back in action. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to the Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for the Todd Alba Show.
From Milwaukee to Marshfield, where passion meets purpose and policy meets people. This is the Maggie Dawn Show.
They're not there to serve you and me and the family farmer. They're there beholden to billionaires and their corporate overlords.
Get ready to challenge the status quo with a fresh perspective on the issues that matter to you.
You see our nation fraying and fracturing.
This is not normal. This is not the country that I grew up in.
Breaking down the complex world of policy and politics with clarity, conviction, and just the right amount of fun.
Correct. We know better. We know better.
Clip that.
Lawyer, economist, and fearless advocate for the truth. Here is Maggie Dawn.
Welcome back, everybody. And welcome. It's good to see you all and hear you all. If you want to watch instead of just listen, remember you can do that on Civic Media's YouTube channel, also at Maggie Dawn Show on X, Instagram, and Facebook. You might want to do that because we're going to have a fulsome discussion today for my small welcome back from my couple of days away and given all that has happened in the past week. I've got two great guests to kick the show off today. You've heard them before together on this program. I thought we had a wonderful discussion. So they're back to help us all unpack everything that has been happening, specifically and most importantly, in two veins. First, today, I wanted to take this first hour with my first two guests and each and every one of you and talk about how the far left is not equivalent to the far right and how I think destructive to our current discourse, basically calls for violent retribution, war on Democrats, and all of the rest of the nonsense that's coming from Trump land in response to Charlie Kirk's murder, which should have never happened. He was assassinated. But the man said vile and disgusting things for nearly his entire public political life. And we can talk about those two things at the same time. But the idea of false equivalencies and how that is framing up this discussion about how we combat violence, period, extremist violence, period, of any type, I think is getting a bit conflated. So that's the first sort of tranche of things that I want to talk about. The second element, which we'll go to in the second half hour of this first hour of special programming, is this question. And we've danced around this a bit in the past. We're trying to grapple with this fundamental idea of how does the Democratic Party win elections without basically kowtowing much of its platform to many, many quite far left activist types within the broader Democratic Party? I don't think much of what comes from the far left, and we're going to talk a bit about what candidate Mondami's platform includes, used to include, now differently, doesn't include, that basically comes from that Democratic Socialist Party perspective. I don't think any of those things are even remotely practical. I think they lose Democrats' elections. I think most people don't want the things that Democratic Socialists stand for. And yet it seems that Democrats seem to try to be triangulating around that portion of the far left. Does that make any sense? Is that a recipe for success? And most importantly, is that possible in this moment where we really need to unify, be clear about what we're seeing from the Trump movement, from MAGA, in their calls for extremism? Because we've got to be able to do all these things at the same time. It is difficult. It is complex. Now, we've got some breaking news that fits exactly within the parameters of what we're talking about today. So before I get to that, I do want to introduce my special guest. We've got Dan Schaefer, political editor and creator of the Recombobulation Area, which you can find on Substack. He's the political editor here at Civic Media. Welcome back to the program, Dan. Happy to have you.
Thanks so much for having me, Maggie. Always wonderful to join you here on the Maggie Dawn Show.
And so much fertile ground to cover. We're joined by Milwaukee County Supervisor and Organizer Jack Ekblad. Welcome back to the show, Jack. It's really great to have you.
Thanks so much for having me back, Maggie.
Let's deal with some of the breaking news. We're going to get into some of the responses from the far right to Charlie Kirk's assassination. But just within the last hour, two things have happened. Wisconsin Congressman Derek Van Orten is introducing legislation to prohibit federal funds for entities employing individuals condoning political violence. Weird, because we're going to talk about a Republican that seems to be doing that these very days. Very strange here. This is from WISPolitics.com. Today, Congressman Derek Van Orten introduced legislation that prohibits federal funding for entities that employ individuals who condone and celebrate political violence and domestic terrorism. The introduction of this legislation comes after multiple accounts of individuals making social media posts celebrating the assassination of Turning Point USA co-founder Charlie Kirk. Okay, interesting. We can talk about what is happening there. We also, I want to bring this breaking news to you. J.D. Vance hosted Charlie Kirk's podcast today and used some pretty extraordinary rhetoric, I think, and specifically targeted different organizations by name. Let's take a listen to some of that sound from today. Again, this is J.D. Vance hosting Charlie Kirk's Turning Point Action USA podcast. Let's take that first cut that we've got from the podcast. He's talking about funding of things. Go ahead, Kel.
That something has gone very wrong with a lunatic fringe, a minority, but a growing and powerful minority on the far left. There is no unity with people who scream at children over their parents' politics. There is no unity with someone who lies about what Charlie Kirk said in order to excuse his murder. There is no unity with someone who harasses an innocent family the day after the father of that family lost a dear friend. There is no unity with the people who celebrate Charlie Kirk's assassination. And there is no unity with the people who fund these articles, who pay the salaries of these terrorist sympathizers, who argue that Charlie Kirk, a loving husband and father, deserved a shot to the neck because he spoke words with which they disagree. Did you know that the George Soros Open Society Foundation and the Ford Foundation, the groups who funded that disgusting article justifying Charlie's death, do you know they benefit from generous tax treatment? They are literally subsidized by you and me, the American taxpayer, and how do they reward us? By setting fire to the house built by the American family over 250 years. I am desperate for our country to be united in condemnation of the act.
And it goes on. There's a lot there to discuss, so let's jump in. And folks, we want all of you at home to participate in this discussion. I think it's kind of the discussion of the moment, of the week, of the month, of the year, of this political generation. What are we going to do about this? And specifically to my guests and to you at home, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. I want to talk about the responses from the right, some of whom have openly called for civil war. Derek Van Orten used that language. Many of whom seemingly condoning violence in retribution for Kirk's killing. All of that premised on the presumption that the killer of Mr. Kirk was a far leftist, was a Democrat. And I've been hearing accounts that he was definitely not that. And he may, in fact, have been very aligned with the far right extremist group, the Groypers. We'll get into all of that. We've got some folks speculating on that. But gentlemen, let's just start here. You have a vice president of the United States basically saying that the federal government will now determine federal funding eligibility based on the ideas of organizations. In other words, to remove already allocated funding from organizations based on speech that that administration doesn't agree with, not on the substantive merits of the grant recipient or the public purpose for which that grant is intended. This is in excess of all of the federal granting requirements that apply to these institutions before Donald Trump has been president and would apply to them well after as well. Dan, let's start with you. I just found this to be shocking, maybe not, but also a well-telegraphed play. In other words, we knew that the Trump administration was coming for nonprofits and organizations that didn't align. The Kirk assassination seems to now be the window dressing, the fig leaf by which they are going to now actively pursue this tactic.
Yeah, it's definitely concerning. I think we need to be watching this closely. And I think because of just the nature of the way these things can work on social media, it's very easy to make a mistake with these kinds of things, too. There was a story today reported by WISN in Milwaukee that said the Elkhorn Area School District was clearing the air about an associate principal in their district making inappropriate comments about the death of Charlie Kirk. Well, she didn't do anything or say anything. This was complete nonsense. And so I think this is, we have to be careful about what exactly is being said here. And you're right. Some of this is under the guise of already goals that already existed from the Trump administration, too. But I want to get to your point about the legislation that Derek Van Norden is now introducing as of this afternoon. You know, that there's kind of this thing with Trump and with Derek Van Norden and a number of figures in the on the right who they'll say a lot of things, but the actions and the words don't always line up. But Van Norden has been extraordinarily active on social media over the past few days, having a lot to say. But those words don't always turn to actions. And now that he is introducing some legislation, that's a little bit of a different step in the process there. But I took a look at the text of that bill. It's very short. It's very broad. There's not a lot of detail to it. It's really kind of completely open for interpretation on what exactly is going to mean there when it comes to things about political violence. Now, of course, I think we should also take a moment to, over and over again, at every opportunity, condemn political violence in all forms every time. But I think, some of the reaction to this has to be measured, has to take the temperature down. It's really not what we're seeing from the likes of J.D. Vance, from the likes of Donald Trump. I think the Utah governor has done this a little bit in some of his remarks about this case, about the shooting. But I think we have to be mindful of the direction this might be headed in some sort of like McCarthyist list of what people may have or what alleged to have said. And like we're already seeing in the example in the Elkhorn Area School District here that mistakes can be made here. So we need to tread very carefully
to be clear, DVO is trying, he is taking an action. This is the legislation subject to innumerable interpretations. And if it's the Trump administration that decides who's a domestic terrorist or not, I'm deeply concerned. Jack, let's go to you. We got about a minute. I'll start with you on the other side, but to get your initial reactions.
Yeah, I mean, we were already heading in this direction with purges, based on ideology. It's just this is more ammunition for them. This is more reason. I think, to get to Dan's point about the confusion, especially on social media, and I had to tell my stepmom today to stop reading the comments section on my Facebook page for her own mental health. To get through the confusion, cynically, it all comes back to systemic violence, systemic violence against pregnant women, systemic violence against the poor, systemic violence against LGBTQ youth. I mean, we have seen the violence that the Trump administration has enabled. I mean, pardons for January 6th, every single person. So the difference here between right and left could not be more than
We're going to talk about those differences between the right and the left, between liberal ideologies and what appears to be the ideology and the values of the MAGA movement in this moment. But make no mistake, violence has no place in political discourse. We're going to continue this discourse on the other side. Keep it locked, 855-752-4842.
Eagle 1490 AM.
Here's a dose of reality. Driving under the influence of prescription painkillers is just as illegal and just as deadly as driving drunk. In fact, there are nearly 2,000 drug-related crashes every year in Wisconsin. Help prevent drug-to-driving and let's achieve zero preventable deaths on Wisconsin roadways. Driving on pills kills. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Departments of Health Services, Transportation, and Justice.
Does Trump's big bill end taxes on tips and overtime? No. President Donald Trump's new law exempts certain tip and overtime income from federal tax. But the deductions expire in 2028 and come with limits. Workers earning under $150,000 can deduct up to $25,000 in tips and $12,500 in overtime. Social Security, Medicare, and state taxes still apply. The Tax Policy Center says 2% of households will benefit from the tip provision, saving $1,800. The White House estimates $1,400 in average annual savings from the overtime deduction. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org, a message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We've got a couple of great guests with us this afternoon. Jack Ekblad, he is a Milwaukee County Board Supervisor, and Dan Schaefer, the political editor and creator of the Recombobulation Area here at Civic Media. We invite you to join our discussion, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, which is... how do we affirmatively try to show people a pathway forward in terms of political disagreement while being at the same time clear about what Donald Trump and the MAGA movement are calling for and standing for, even in the wake of Charlie Kirk's killing? It's as if we live on two different planets at times. And I don't want to get into the hypocrisy because it's totally beside the point. How is it for folks who may be inclined to have greater affinity towards conservatism or the MAGA movement or Trump himself as a political leader and who may vehemently disagree with Democrats, do these folks, maybe some of whom aren't online, do they really think that calls for civil war and, you know, this is, again, Derek Van Orten calling Democrats domestic terrorists, specifically the DNC and DCCC. He agreed with the conspiracy that Democrats tried to assassinate Donald Trump. He agreed that George Soros should be criminally investigated and charged with fueling the murder of Charlie Kirk. He called for violence. He openly invited a civil war. And that's just one congressman in 1 week. That is all over. the internet right now. How does someone ever think that calling for more violence will ever lead to less violence? That is the thing about political violence, Jack, and I wanted to start where we left off with you. Political violence just spins off more political violence. It is a domino expanding cancerous growth. And in this moment, I hear every Democrat of any renown saying, please, please ratchet down. How do we continue to do that and still call out the complete incompatibility of much of what Donald Trump is proposing as policy and much of what MAGA and J.D. Vance and Donald Trump are saying in response to Kirk's killing as acceptable, as utter hogwash? How can we do these two things at once?
It's so complicated, but I do think it boils down to two very simple points. One, the reason why we're against political violence is moral, yes, but it's also practical. Punching a fascist doesn't work. It plays into the ethos of fascism and actually destroys the thing we say we're trying to defend. So just pure and simple, yes, we're against it from a moral perspective, but also just from an efficacy perspective. Punching a fascist just doesn't work. And when we think about pointing out, you know, the contrast and what's actually going on here. If we want to talk about violence, let's talk about the war on the poor. Let's talk about this being an excuse to perpetuate the war on the poor. That's exactly what they're doing. The only people benefiting from any of these policies are billionaires.
Yeah.
And people will die as a result.
And that, I think, is something like the meta context here, Dan, to me is again, I come back to this fundamental notion that I think people correctly perceive that there is grave unfairness, right? That the economic system is not working for them, that the fix is in, that they feel ignored. I think there's correct perception of that. And instead of that being directed at those that actually control our politicians, which are the billionaires, right? It's getting more, and how do we fix that and get money out of politics and give working people a bigger say in our politics? It's being directed at people who have never controlled the productive capacity of this country and have never controlled political or economic power in this country. And that's gay folks, immigrants, women, you know, black folks, the LGBT. It seems irrational. But it's these folks that now seem to be the folks that have been most historically disadvantaged that now seem to be the target and the folks taking the blame for this violence against Charlie Kirk. Like, that's insane to me. What do you say, Dan? I continue to be sort of overwhelmed by this.
Yeah, I think it is. You know, what you're speaking to is just a lot of what we've heard from Republicans, from MAGA movement over the past years, is a constant othering and demonization of, you know, folks that they might view as political adversaries or just certain minority groups or whatever it might be. But I think, you know, just looking at the response from the past week to the shooting of Charlie Kirk, there are a lot of problems with the ways folks on the right have jumped to conclusions with certain things, even before we knew any details about the shooter. There have been problems across the board in some of the reactions to it. And I think, but what I do appreciate is I do think more often than not, there are people who are looking to lower the temperature, looking to have a calm and rational conversation about this. Again, I'll emphasize that, you know, I think, the governor of Utah has had a few kind of missteps and stumbles in some of the ways that he's said certain things. But I think by and large, he is calling on people to say, hey, get off social media. You know, don't get down these rabbit holes. And I do appreciate when there are leaders speaking to those types of ideals and speaking to, you know, suggestions to say we need to lower the temperature. We need to try to better understand each other in this very fraught political moment.
Here's the difference, though, Dan, and this is the piece that really troubles me, is uniformly every elected Democrat that I've seen of any importance has tried to say the right things. The president of our country is not trying to say the right things. The vice president isn't trying to say the right things. Our congresspeople on the right aren't trying to say. It's, again, the elected Dems of some renown doing and saying the right things. The elected MAGAs
that have the biggest pulpits on planet Earth, fueled by a billionaire overlord. Not only the overlord, but all of them are calling for open civil war. It doesn't make sense. We continue this on the other side. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Join this fine discussion. 855-752-4.
You're listening to the Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt Nair on air.
1490 WLCX, real news and great conversation for La Crosse, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlaw.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Wisconsin Republicans are putting together a package of bills to reform education in Wisconsin. With more, here's Civic Media's Savannah Tomei Olson.
These bills aren't even drafted yet, so there weren't a ton of details available at a press conference this week. But Republicans in the Assembly focused heavily on districts with declining enrollment and declining funding. One of their big solutions is to encourage more districts to combine. There are more than 400 of them across Wisconsin, and record numbers of them are going to referendum, asking residents to increase their own taxes just to keep the district afloat. Representative Amanda Nedweski from Pleasant Prairie.
Consolidation has long-term positive effects on both students and taxpayers. So we need to stop the cycle of never-ending referendums. Now, Democrats might argue that the solution is simply to throw more money at the problem, but it does not solve the issue that there are just less kids being born today than there were 20 years ago.
School advocates and administrators say declining enrollment isn't the problem. It's the formula itself and a lack of funding from lawmakers. State school aid has not kept up with inflation for more than a decade. Republicans' plans also include revamping the math curriculum and what they're calling a teacher's bill of rights, which they say would standardize discipline for students. They also want Wisconsin to opt in to a federal school choice program passed as part of President Donald Trump's Big Beautiful Bill earlier this year. Assembly Minority Leader Greta Neubauer criticized Republicans' plans, saying, quote, Republicans' K-12 education plans won't address the challenges facing working families or give our kids the opportunities they deserve. We shouldn't be talking about consolidating districts. We should be investing in our local schools, end quote. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Some of the Republicans' proposals have already been brought up in the legislature in past sessions and failed. For 1490 WLCX,
on your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Superman and Lex Luthor teaming up together? What is this world coming to? Before you know it, cats and dogs will be living together. Variety has announced that the sequel for this summer's hit Superman is in motion. If you thought the first one was a spectacle, the follow-up promises an even bigger nemesis will face off against the unlikely duo. James Gunn's Superman, starring David Corenswet, made $613 million worldwide and was a big first swing for the DC Universe, a company where Gunn currently serves as co-CEO. James Gunn says the sequel will be as much a Lex Luthor film as it will be a Superman film. The director says he loved working with Nicholas Hoult, who played Luthor, and really identified with the Luthor character. Yikes. A couple other tidbits from Gunn's Superman world. The director says Supergirl, starring Millie Alcock, is on the schedule to be released in 2026. Superman, A Man of Tomorrow, will start filming in 2026 and be released in 2027. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
1490 WLCX, real news and great conversation for La Crosse.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. An isolated storm or two this evening, otherwise mostly clear, warm, and muggy tonight with a low in the mid-60s. Sunny, hot, and humid tomorrow. Highs upper 80s to 90. Chance of storms again Wednesday. Temperatures cool at the end of the week. Right now it's 73.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Talk about overall mental health, how we cope with this nonstop, overwhelming news. Tom, thanks for calling. What say you?
Nobody can do push-ups indefinitely. But bring this back to mental health, and suddenly we feel able to pound through this without taking any kind of a break. And it's just not the way that it works. So do any action that takes you away from whatever it is that you're stressing out. Go for a walk. Get a drink of water. Read a book.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, Dan Schaefer gets us reset on who all is running for what in Wisconsin next year, and Courier Newsroom's Cam Stevenson from Capitol Hill.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network, joined by my colleague Dan Schaefer, political editor here at Civic Media, and Milwaukee County Board Supervisor Jack Ekblad, both of which have been joining me from time to time on this program to have the bigger discussion, the big picture discussion. And today it's about Charlie Kirk, the response from the right, blaming Democrats, calling for civil war, overtly violent rhetoric. It just keeps ramping up. They're name-checking all kinds of people and institutions. The attacks are relentless. They're in the thousands. The folks that track this stuff say it is really bad out there. So how do Democrats deal with... And I'm going to use the word Democrats in a very specific way here for the next part of this discussion. I'm going to talk, when I say Democrat, I'm going to talk about centrist, left-leaning Dems who virulently oppose Trump, but understand that to win elections in 2026, we have to address as our primary platform, number one thing, the very real, very accurate economic existential angst of every single working person in this country. It doesn't matter what zip code they live in or who they voted for. People are all, if they work, if they get a paycheck, if they've got a boss, they feel that. So how do we center that? If you want to win an election as a Democrat, that's where you got to center it. And yet you have to combat a lot of hate speech, a lot of dangerous authoritarian tendencies and actions being undertaken by Donald Trump, the MAGA right, and many of the folks in Congress and in other elected offices that support that ideology. Doing both is hard. I was reminded as part of this conversation of this, it was said by Robert Jones Jr., who has been inspired by the great James Baldwin. We can disagree and still love each other unless your disagreement is rooted in my oppression and the denial of my humanity and right to exist. Isn't that what's going on here? There is justifiable anger and rage, yes, rage and frustration from people on the left. And yes, at the furthest fringe of the Democratic I don't even want to call it Democratic, the far, far, far left, there are wackadoos doing things. But if you look at all of the acts of political violence in this country over the last 25 years, they are overwhelmingly 90%+ committed by people acting on the far right. Fact. We're going to post some of the links to those studies. This is from LaFree, Professor LaFree. He is a professor in the Department of Criminology and Criminal Justice and the founding director of the National Consortium for the Study of Terrorism and Responses to Terrorism. There's been a strong presumption that among many, that while the left-wing and right-wing ideologies vary a great deal in content, they resemble each other in terms of their willingness to use violence to further their political agenda. However, our statistical analysis shows that right-wing actors are significantly more violent than left-wing actors. Like, someone has actually studied this, no surprise. So, Jack, let's pick up where you and I left off. And that is, again, I hear in some of your answers this desire to address the actual substantive policies and to return that as a fundamental pillar of any policy discussion. I think that's critical. I think the question is, how do we do that while acknowledging the very real threats from the MAGA movement to many different individuals and groups in our communities?
Boy, I wish I had a simple answer, but I do think it's worth pointing out over and over again that the most successful domestic terrorist group in the entire history of the United States of America is white supremacists. Doesn't matter the organization, they are easily the most successful. And when we talk about their defeat, when we talk about the defeat of the KKK, and obviously white supremacy is now resurgent, but when we talk about the defeat of the KKK, it was a mixture of the Justice Department and literally Quakers like Bayard Rustin. It was not political violence. And so we need to return to the most effective strategies here.
Yeah, and just since you mentioned the KKA and white supremacist violence, Charlie Kirk claimed black women's brains don't process as fast. He insisted that it probably might be a good idea if women might be property of their husbands, said MLK wasn't a nice guy. He was awful, not a good person. He said that gay pride is a sin. He claimed that the Civil Rights Act of 1964 was a mistake. And yeah, I'm taking these things out of context, but the words came out of the guy's mouth. You know, that's on top of, well, a few gun deaths is fine because that's the price you pay for an armed citizenry. Dan, it's quite a moment that we're in, and then I want to go to the phone lines. Do you see indications that Democrats are going to be able to pull this off by 2026? Like, calling out what's coming from the MAGA party without completely alienating conservatives and Republicans while also not alienating the far less progressive wing? I mean, that is a tall order. It's basically like, heal all that ails us, centrist Democrats.
Well, I think, you know, so over the weekend or last week was held Cap Times Idea Fest was held in Madison. And I was over there for a couple days over the weekend, and they had a lot of, you know, great speakers and people talking about some of the big things that we talk about on this show a lot of the time, too. And one of the final keynote speaker of the event on Saturday night was Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker. And Pritzker kind of hinted at what you are suggesting here about the talking about the threats to democracy, talking about some of these big issues that we face and like that, but also what really makes a difference for voters, and those being those pocketbook issues, those economic issues. And so he talked about how he was invited to, this was before Joe Biden dropped out of the race, but he talked about how he was invited to this speech that Biden was going to be giving about his reelection and centering democracy about his reelection bid. And Pritzker said he thought that was the wrong way to go about things, and saying that so many people who, you know, are these lower propensity voters, they might not vote in midterms or their own local elections and things like that, but only vote for president, are really mostly voting on economic issues, the bottom line, kitchen table, pocketbook type of issues, and people who were struggling economically during Joe Biden's 4 years as president may have swung to Donald Trump, saying that, like, well, he's promising to bring costs down. My life has gotten ridiculously expensive. I'm going to vote for him this time, right? And so I think the argument to voters that Pritzker was outlining here has to be an economic one. And we can talk about, you know, the dangers coming down, rolling down the hill from the big ugly bill and all of the other things from that. But we can't also stop fighting for those values, those pro-democracy values that we talk about so much here on the Civic Media Network. But I just think as a campaign issue, it has to start with the economy.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, Dan. And figuring out how to do both of those things as a candidate is challenging, right? Because you're basically speaking to the two phases of campaigning, primary and general, and those might sound slightly differently, but at base, to try to return it to substantive issues that matter to people to help move us forward, because it seems like the rest of it has just been a morass of hate. And I'm going to say this pretty clearly. It is hate coming from one direction. The people that I see getting shouted down on social media are people that basically have pointed out Charlie Kirk's own words. That has now, like, saying, you know, he did say X. That is a thing that he said. That's what's getting people fired, including Karen Adia of the Washington Post yesterday. Just saying. Charles from Milwaukee, you're on the show. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, good afternoon, Maggie and your guest. So my question that I would like to ask any of your conservative listeners, whether they call in or text in, out of all the tragedies that have happened in the United States, and even the latest one where the Democratic politician in Minnesota was killed.
And her husband and her dog.
Right.
Flags did not fly at half staff. They didn't fly at half staff when Medgar Evers was assassinated. I could go off. Sorry, Charles. Right. Go ahead.
That's okay. But my question is for them is, name me one Democratic politician that was calling for revenge to the right. It was all about, hey, how do we try to bring the country together? Joe Biden, whether Joe Biden, Barack Obama, they never spoke the way Donald Trump does about going after the other side. I mean, he's putting targets on anyone that identifies as a Democratic constituent, whether you have a bumper sticker on your car or a flag out at your house. We see that these people they're not well. Something's wrong.
Charles, sorry to hop in there, but the point is this president and no one in his party cares anything about unity. The message that they're giving people is, I am a president for the people that support me and everybody else better watch out. I don't know how else to summarize the moment that we're in, but that is it. And that's not the way a functional democracy works. Now, the bigger question to me is, given that threat, what do Democratic candidates do in 2026, right? Like that is the challenge. Let's take a few texts. Then I want to get to the phones again, 855-752-4842. Gary from Madison's says this, when you can't persuade people to your thinking, people move towards a more violent means. Tony Zimmerman pointing out that how is there but to the end of any sentence condemning violence. Trump and his folks control the party. They have the power to decide what they do and their party's response. I hear that. Jim and Appleton, you know, I'm getting tired of this trope about lefties celebrating Mr. Kirk's death. I've searched Alphabet, Meta, and Twitter for celebration of Charlie's death, and the only platform that has a lot of it is that bastion of leftist ideology, also known as Twitter or X, which makes me suspect bots and trolls, given the billionaire that owns it. Folks, stay with us. We're going to continue to take calls and text 855-752-4842. Gary from Madison again, even Republicans admit they're more violent. They don't care. Steve from Milwaukee, the anti-federalists warned us that liberty dies not in the clash of armies, but in the quiet surrender of rights to fear and prejudice. Samuel Adams wrote that, quote, the liberties of our country are worth defending at all hazards. To smear whole groups, women, trans people, people of color, as unfit for power is the very factional oppression the Bill of Rights was meant to restrain. Today, it's illegals you deride. Tomorrow, it could be your faith, your speech, or your vote. Patrick Henry's warning still stands. Guard liberty, even for those you mistrust. For once you permit the majority to strip rights from any minority, you've invited the same chains onto yourself. A free republic cannot survive when suspicion becomes the measure of citizenship. Wow. Thanks, Steve. Sometimes you got to go back to those history books, you know what I'm saying, to remind us what's really at stake. The reason I'm so concerned is that I'm actually concerned for my fellow Republicans as well, right? I'm concerned for their continued free speech rights as much as I am concerned for mine. Because who gets to speak and what they get to say, if that's determined by what party you tend to vote for, we're in big trouble. We're going to take care of some quick business. Go back to the text and phone lines and my guests, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Stay tuned. We'll be right back here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. The American Bar Association has issued a final report and recommendations from its ABA Task Force for American Democracy. The report calls for major reform to elections, civics education, and the role of lawyers in defending constitutional governance. The project was chaired by former U.S. Secretary of Homeland Security Jay Johnson, a Democrat, and former U.S. Federal Judge J. Michael Luttig, a Republican. Among several reforms, the report calls for substantial state and federal investments in K-12 civics education. It recommends establishing citizen-led independent redistricting commissions to reduce the partisan and racial gerrymandering unfolding right now in Texas and other states. It encourages states to adopt open primaries, ranked choice voting, or fusion voting to reduce polarization and increase accountability. The report also calls for expanding automatic and same-day registration, standardizing early and mail voting procedures, and an election day holiday. For election workers, the report calls for depoliticizing selection of election officials and setting professional standards and codes of responsibility. It also calls for stronger protections of those workers and the funding to support it. For lawyers, ABA recommends more law school training and continuing ed on election law and affirming lawyers' responsibility to uphold the rule of law. We've linked the full report at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity. Especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow human some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Louisiana versus Calais, C-A-L-L-A-I-S, could deal a death blow to the impact, the power, the capacity of the Supreme Court to decide Voting Rights Act cases. This is one of those times when the Supreme Court needs to hear from the public about the appropriate resolution of this major case that could compromise the Voting Rights Act going forward beyond Louisiana.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm joined this hour by Jack Ekblad, Milwaukee County Board Supervisor, and Dan Schaefer, Political Editor at Civic Media. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. How do Democrats pull it off in 2026? We've been sort of trying to get there. My thesis is this, that I want to read a couple of texts and then get your gentlemen's reactions, is that I think if Democrats speak clearly and try to address the Kirk shooting in a really genuine way, which is that man said some absolutely horrifying things, right, that I absolutely disagree with. And they were, the things that he said were overtly racist and sexist and homophobic and xenophobic and would keep Americans from being able to become the most successful version of themselves, right? That is what we all want to see, is opportunities and people able to realize that their great hopes and dreams. That is, I hope, what can still unify us, the desire to see a place where that is the most possible of any place on the planet. and being able to center that in our political discourse, while at the same time, in a very clear way, saying that is racist, that is homophobic, that is hateful and hurtful, and continue to be clear about that and not get stuck language policing ourselves to death. I think if we do that, we will not be able to speak to the everyday American that feels accurately some economic angst and feeling like it's the system isn't fair, because it's not right now. Jim from Appleton says this: centrists are fine, but I'm completely done with the corporatist. I think we hear you, Jim. Absolutely. Tony, also on the text line, tie it together by power. They are using this to get power. What's the power for? To help billionaires and millionaires. Amen, Tony Z. What is the end result of this going to be? Right? How is MAGA, if they start shutting down these nonprofits and purging the media of anyone that disagrees, do you really think if you're a working person trying to save that has a paycheck and a boss, do you really think it's going to get better for you? Or do you think it will be the people that control Donald Trump and the MAGA universe, those billionaires, who end up benefiting the most? I think that needs to be a fair question and asked repeatedly. Mark from Prairie du Sac, you've been very patient. Your thoughts, sir?
Yeah, not a problem. Yeah, that we've heard the complaint now about, you know, that Kirk made and not liking the word empathy. And it seems to me that and I guess it was coined back in 1908. I had to look it up. And the concept of it is ancient. I mean, understanding our fellow, your fellow human being, that what their pains are, what is driving them. And it seems to me that Kirk and some of his allies are experts at, you know, their empathic understanding of the grievances and the pains and the fears that these people have. And they have been exploiting them for decades now. And say, rather than directing it at the people who are responsible for the corporatists at the very top, the billionaires, soon to be trillionaires, that they direct it at the least among us in some cases, and at their fellow man, and saying these people are different. These are the people that are responsible for the reason you can't get a job, you can't buy a house. They're the ones that are responsible, rather than the people that have been controlling our economy for their own benefit rather than for the benefit of the masses.
Yeah, I hear you, Mark. I think you're onto something there. Dan, is it going to be possible? Let's take the governor's race. With so many different Democrats, I'm about to have a conversation with Ryan Sternad, who's running really crowded primary. Is it possible that this isn't going to turn into kind of a bloodbath along this sort of more far left and more centrist tack? And how do we keep Democrats from doing that?
Yeah, I don't really see it playing out that way. I think, you know, we're going to have a lot of different candidates from a lot of different perspectives in Wisconsin. But I think there is a, you know, and I got this sense from reporting at the Democratic Party of Wisconsin's convention earlier this year, that mm-hmm. Democrats in Wisconsin have figured something out that national Democrats have not. And I think Wisconsin Democrats have not really gotten bogged down in these same types of ideological warfare that we have seen in many places nationally. I think there is room in the big tent for lots of different voices, lots of different perspectives. And as we see, you know, some announcements for Governor Calderoys of Madison,
yeah,
announced her candidacy today. I expect we're going to see some more announcements in the coming days, weeks, months, what have you. But I think there is a sense that among Wisconsin Democrats that they have figured something out that national Democrats might still be struggling with.
Mm. Jack Ekblad, Milwaukee County Board Supervisor, you're going to have the last word this afternoon. What say you? How do we keep this from eating ourselves alive here on the left end of the spectrum?
Well, first of all, let me agree with Dan. I'm excited about the crowded primary for governor. People had the same anxiety in 2020, and then in 2024, we didn't have a primary. So I'm firmly on the side of primaries. I also think that we return to good old-fashioned Wisconsin nuts and bolts. And it's not 1 or 2 degrees removed. If your rent has gone up, that is the landlord Donald Trump's fault. If you have lost health care, that is Donald Trump's fault. If you are struggling to pay the bills, Donald Trump is not here to help you. Look at his bill. It only helps billionaires. We need to go block by block with that message.
block by block. All Trump has done is serve the billionaire class. Thank you so very, very much to my two fine guests this afternoon. Dan Schaefer, political editor at Civic Media, creator of the Recombobulation Area. It is available on Substack. Go subscribe right now. And, of course, Jack Ekblad, Milwaukee County Board Supervisor for District for My Friend and Now Yours. These gentlemen will be back again to have the ongoing question of this political year. How do Democrats push back? Because this is real bad, folks. We're going to talk to one of those Democrats that's thrown his hat in the ring for governor. Ryan Sternaugh joins me next. He talks about his political conversion from Republican to Democrat, his support of organized labor, and his belief that recycling will solve the climate crisis. All next with me and Mr. Sternaugh right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. At the White House, President Trump signed an executive order to create a federal task force and deploy troops to Memphis. The president says he wants to curb crime in the city like he did in Washington, D.C.
The effort will include the National Guard as well as the FBI, ATF, DEA, ICE, Homeland Security Investigations, and the U.S. Marshals.
President Trump also vowing to send National Guard troops to Chicago next. The president says he will attend the funeral of conservative activist Charlie Kirk in Phoenix on Sunday. It follows the fatal shooting of Kirk at Utah Valley University during an event. Investigators say suspect Tyler Robinson will be formally charged tomorrow, and investigators say they've collected evidence showing the suspect was studying maps of the university campus before the shooting. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent signaling the U.S. and China have reached a framework deal to switch to a U.S.-controlled ownership of TikTok. This is ABC News.